Muito bom dia, está aberta a sessão. Senhor Presidente da República, Senhor Presidente do Supremo Tribunal Administrativo, membros do Governo, Senhora e Senhores Vice-Presidentes da Assembleia da República e líderes parlamentares, Senhora Procuradora-Geral da República, Senhor Provedor de Justiça, Senhor Secretário-Geral do Conselho da Europa, Senhor Presidente da Delegação da Assembleia da República à Assembleia Parlamentar do Conselho da Europa, deputado Mota Amaral, em representação da Presidente da Assembleia Parlamentar do Conselho da Europa, Senhor Presidente do Comitê Executivo do Centro Norte-Sul, antigo Presidente da Assembleia da República, Dr. Almeida Santos, senhores deputados, senhores embaixadores, distintos laureados, minhas senhoras e meus senhores. Bem-vindos à Assembleia da República e a esta cerimónia de atribuição do Prémio Norte-Sul. O prémio dirige-se aos fazedores de pontes, a mais bela tarefa a cada ser humano cometida. Pontes para os outros, para que todos os indivíduos se sintam em casa neste mundo. Entre eles estão Suzanne Jabour, com a sua coragem de mostrar os lugares onde os direitos humanos gritam e, em geral, a opinião pública não chega, as prisões com a tortura. E o príncipe Aga Khan, que afirma persistente que a rede do mundo há de ter necessariamente uma rede dos direitos. Combatendo os muros que nos separam, da pobreza à segregação étnica, à geografia, os fazedores de pontes mostram-nos a evidência de que todos temos, afinal, uma única condição. São homens e mulheres assim que celebramos, os que respondem, como disse Ana Arendt, ao pedido de socorro dos homens, para que a nossa dignidade comum seja, afinal, em toda a linha garantida. Se há uma mensagem que nos deixa o Centro Norte-Sul e o sentido do percurso dos dois premiados, ela é de que um dia descobriremos todos que o amor aos outros é o único caminho para ser feliz, para o amor de si mesmo. Parabéns aos premiados, ao Centro Norte-Sul. Parabéns ao Sr. Presidente da República, que um dia, no mês de junho de 1988, ainda Primeiro-Ministro, propôs num fórum internacional a formação de um centro que viria a ser o Centro Norte-Sul para a interdependência e solidariedade globais, com o propósito de continuar o processo de colaboração entre ONGs, parlamentos, governos e instituições internacionais e prosseguir o projeto emancipador de igualdade entre os povos e os indivíduos. Cabe-nos a todos persistir na audácia desse sonho. Dou agora a palavra ao Sr. Deputado Mota Amaral, Presidente da Delegação da Assembleia da República à Assembleia Parlamentar do Conselho da Europa.
Sr. Presidente da República, Sra. Presidente da Assembleia da República, Sr. Secretário-Geral do Conselho da Europa, Sr. Diretor Executivo do Centro Norte-Sul, ilustres laureados do Prémio Norte-Sul 2013, Sua Alteza Aga Khan e Sra. Suzanne Jabour, altas entidades presentes, minhas senhoras e meus senhores. Em nome da Presidente da Assembleia Parlamentar do Conselho da Europa, Sra. Anne Brasseur, que me concedeu o privilégio de ser o seu representante nesta sessão solene, e em meu nome pessoal, saúdo respeitosamente o Sr. Presidente da República e a Sra. Presidente da Assembleia da República. Um cumprimento especial dirijo ao Sr. Secretário-Geral do Conselho da Europa, Pela segunda vez, no desempenho do seu mandato, visita Portugal, especialmente para participar nesta cerimónia. O Sr. Thorbjørn Jagland marca assim um compromisso pessoal com o Centro Norte-Sul e dá um sinal de apreço pela importante atividade, pelo mesmo realizada, na promoção do ideário de democracia e direitos humanos, que é a marca de água da mais antiga e mais ampla organização europeia, por cujos destinos ele tem sido o primeiro responsável nos últimos 5 anos. O Conselho da Europa tem um papel insubstituível na construção europeia, definindo e garantindo, para benefício dos cidadãos e das cidadãs, aquilo que eu chamo o modelo político europeu, que se caracteriza pelo respeito pela dignidade da pessoa humana e se concretiza em direitos fundamentais e liberdades cívicas, democracia representativa e império do direito. Tão grande é o valor de tais princípios que todos os países do nosso continente, à exceção da Bielorrússia, se comprometeram a cumpri-los, formalizando a sua adesão ao Conselho da Europa. A atração do modelo político europeu projeta-se mesmo para além fronteiras e está trazendo a diversas formas de cooperação com o Conselho da Europa, países das áreas vizinhas da América do Norte, da América, do Norte da África, do Médio Oriente e até da Ásia, como observadores e parceiros para a democracia. Nem tudo tem corrido bem nos últimos tempos no seio da organização. Os vários mecanismos de acompanhamento não têm sido suficientes para fazer cumprir as obrigações assumidas pelas autoridades nacionais na altura em que se vincularam ao Conselho da Europa. E até parece que, obtidas as credenciais democráticas que a ligação ao Conselho da Europa inegavelmente significa, há quem pense como se afinal mantivesse pulso livre para uma governação autoritária no interior do país e exercícios de realpolitik nas relações externas. Temos estado a verificá-lo nos últimos tempos, dolorosamente, na Ucrânia. Hoje, porém, não estamos aqui para tratar os problemas do Conselho da Europa e dos países a ele vinculados, antes para louvarmos os laureados do Prémio Norte-Sul 2013, Sua Alteza o Aga Khan, fundador e líder máximo da rede Aga Khan por Desenvolvimento, e a Sra. Suzanne Jabour. Ambos felicito cordialmente, em meu nome pessoal, como Presidente da Delegação do Parlamento de Portugal na Assembleia Parlamentar do Conselho da Europa e da Presidente desta, Sra. Anne Brasseur, que lamenta a impossibilidade da sua presença hoje em Lisboa. As afinados benemerentes de Sua Alteza o Aga Khan e da Rede Aga Khan para o Desenvolvimento têm projeção planetária e, tão extensas e conhecidas que são, dispensam quaisquer encómios. Também no nosso país elas têm feito sentir, sob o impulso e responsabilidade direta do representante da rede em Portugal, o Comendador Nazim Ahmad, a quem saúdo ambiciosamente. A Sra. Suzanne Jabour é uma ativista dos direitos humanos, com uma vida dedicada às crianças traumatizadas pela violência e às vítimas de tortura no seu país, o Líbano e a muitos outros. Especial destaque merece também o trabalho realizado na promoção da Convenção contra a Tortura da Organização das Nações Unidas. Na sua edição de 2013, o Prémio Norte-Sul não só honra os laureados, como fica também prestigiado por incluir personalidades tão relevantes e meritórias na galeria dos seus titulares. Muito obrigado.
Obrigada. Dou agora a palavra ao Presidente do Comitê Executivo do Centro Norte-Sul, o Sr. Jean-Marie Haidt.
Monsieur le Président de la République du Portugal, Madame la Présidente de l'Assemblée de la République du Portugal, Mesdames et Messieurs les députés de l'Assemblée de la République, Monsieur le Secrétaire général du Conseil de l'Europe, distingués lauréats, Mesdames et Messieurs, Tout d'abord, permettez-moi, au nom du comité exécutif du Centre Nord-Sud, d'exprimer encore une fois ma gratitude et ma reconnaissance pour le soutien constant et résolu des autorités portugaises au Centre Nord-Sud. En particulier, je tiens à remercier Monsieur le Président de la République, M. Aníbal Cavaco Silva, et Madame la Présidente de l'Assemblée de la République, Assunça Esteves, pour leur engagement et leur soutien permanent. Le Centre fête cette année ses 25 ans, et pendant cette période, l'engagement actif et durable des autorités ici à Lisbonne pour soutenir et pour promouvoir les valeurs du Conseil de l'Europe, au-delà des frontières de l'Europe, dans le cadre des activités du Centre, a contribué à créer un espace où des acteurs de la gouvernance du Nord et du Sud peuvent se réunir pour prendre des initiatives visant à renforcer la démocratie, défendre les droits de l'homme et souligner la solidarité et l'interdépendance entre le Nord et le Sud. C'est un honneur pour moi, ici, au nom du Centre Nord-Sud, d'accueillir les lauréats du prix, deux personnes remarquées et remarquables qui ont travaillé sans relâche, tout autant à titre individuel qu'au travers d'organisations internationales non gouvernementales, pour défendre les valeurs fondamentales de nos sociétés et ainsi offrir et aider ceux laissés pour compte dans nos sociétés. Madame Suzanne Jabour est connue pour être une activiste pour les droits de l'homme et incarne parfaitement les valeurs du Conseil de l'Europe. Son parcours personnel et professionnel est un exemple de dévouement désintéressé à la protection des droits de l'homme au profit des personnes défavorisées dans nos sociétés. Elle a été membre fondateur d'associations et d'organisations non gouvernementales au Liban, dans des domaines des soins de santé mentale, d'éducation spécialisée pour les enfants handicapés mentaux et la réadaptation des victimes de la violence et de la torture, notamment. Son travail dans la prévention et la lutte contre la torture à travers les régions du monde du sud de la Méditerranée, ainsi qu'au travers du monde pour les Nations Unies, tout cela contribue non seulement au respect de l'état de droit, mais aussi au processus de démocratisation et au renforcement des solidarités Nord-Sud. Son Altesse, la GACAN, compte près de 60 ans d'engagement dans la promotion du développement équitable au profit des plus défavorisés dans plus de 30 pays au travers le monde. Le réseau de développement d'Adakan compte plusieurs agences qui œuvrent dans le même but, améliorer les possibilités et de meilleures conditions de vie pour des milliers de personnes dans les pays en développement. Les activités conduites par le réseau touchent les domaines de l'éducation, de la santé, du logement, mais aussi l'assistance humanitaire, en travaillant avec des acteurs et des autorités locales, nationales et internationales. Monsieur le Président, Madame la Présidente, Mesdames et Messieurs, à l'instar de nos deux lauréats d'aujourd'hui, le Centre Nord-Sud du Conseil de l'Europe contribue à ce dialogue entre le Nord et le Sud en promouvant et en sensibilisant la solidarité et l'interdépendance. De ce fait, il est important de souligner le développement des actions visant à transmettre et à promouvoir les valeurs qui sont au cœur de la mission du Conseil de l'Europe. À cette mission s'ajoute une vraie valeur ajoutée au Centre, son ouverture aux États non membres du Conseil de l'Europe. Nous comptons actuellement le Maroc et le Cap-Vert parmi nos membres et nous serions ravis de pouvoir accueillir de nouveaux membres du Sud aussi bien que du Nord. Le quadrilogue, ce système original de gestion du Centre qui regroupe les quatre acteurs principaux de la gouvernance, que sont la société civile, les autorités locales et régionales, les parlements et les gouvernements, offre une plateforme de dialogue et de coopération renforcée. La cible de la plupart de nos activités est les jeunes et les femmes. J'ai eu l'honneur de participer aux deuxièmes universités de la jeunesse de la citoyenneté mondiale en Tunisie la semaine dernière et j'irai au Maroc la semaine prochaine pour la troisième conférence internationale du processus Nord-Sud pour le renforcement du rôle des femmes. Ces activités, ainsi que le Forum de Lisbonne, qui aura lieu en septembre sur le thème « Processus électoraux et consolidation démocratique dans les pays du sud de la Méditerranée », font du Centre un cadre unique pour l'échange d'expériences et de bonnes pratiques. Monsieur le Président, Madame la Présidente, Mesdames et Messieurs, le prix du Centre Nord-Sud du Conseil de l'Europe représente une haute valeur ajoutée à ces travaux et aux travaux réalisés par le Conseil de l'Europe pour faciliter et pour renforcer de solides ponts entre le Sud et le Nord. Je vous remercie.
Muito obrigada. Dou agora a palavra ao secretário-geral do Conselho da Europa, o Sr. Jagland.
President of the Republic of Portugal, Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament, distinguished winners of the North South Prize, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure for me to be back. It's my second time to participate in the awarding ceremony of the North South Prize. It was a very beautiful ceremony last time I was here, and I'm sure that it will be equally beautiful today when we have the honor to pay tribute to two very exceptional individuals, Prince Aga Khan and Madame Suzanne Jabour. I would also like to say that I personally feel particularly attached to Portugal. I was a young political leader when the revolution took place here in 77-78. I was in Norway, and we started to struggle for setting up a broad assistance program from the Norwegian government. Actually, it was not difficult because we had a Minister of Finance at the time. Well, he was like all other finance ministers. He said no to everything that cost money. But on Portugal, it was totally the opposite. His wallet was open, and he said yes to every initiative we took. And therefore, we were able to set up a quite broad and important assistance program for the democratization here in Portugal. And I think what happened here was a great moment of history for Europe. The second reason why I feel particularly attached to Portugal is that I knew a woman, that a businesswoman that left everything she had in Norway, and she settled here in Lisbon, in Alfama district, because she was so fond of singing Fado. And she became very good, and he participated in a national competition for Fado music, and she became number 8, and that was quite extraordinary. It was as if a Portuguese would participate in a ski jump competition in Norway and become number 8. Well, the laureates of 2013 North South Prize come from different backgrounds and different countries, but their work shares a common root. They have both dedicated their lives to helping those who are least privileged and most vulnerable. They have done so using different methods and means, but their goals has been the same, to help rebuild the lives of those who have fallen through the cracks of society. In the case of His Highness Aga Khan and the Aga Khan Foundation, this has been achieved by improving the living conditions of populations in the most deprived regions, not only by improving the national material situation, but also by boosting the prospects for the future. This has been done through focusing on crucial areas such as education, economic development, and boosting institutional capabilities. This carries also an important message to our own continent, Europe. Today, social and economic deprivation cannot be said to be a problem far from Europe. Europe's continent is rich, but the gap between extremes in income and wealth is increasing at an alarming pace. This gap is damaging to the social fabric, for millions, the capacity to access quality education, housing, public services, and quality housing is weakened. Time and again, we have been painfully reminded that the scores of poverty in Europe involves real people with real problems. Through his work and long-standing commitment to social justice, His Highness Aga Khan has shown that a lot of these real problems also have real solutions, which is also a very important message to Europe today. The accomplishments of Suzanne Jabour are no less impressive. Ms. Jabour has spent the past decade fighting against the use of torture within prisons. Dealing with prisoners can be demanding and costly, and often does not win great public support, but we cannot allow ourselves to cut corners. Even when prisoners are in conflict with law, even if they have committed crimes on foreign soil, Suzanne Jabour's efforts to improve the plight of prisoners are a powerful reminder that to the world that all human beings are equal and need to be treated accordingly. And this is, of course, what Council of Europe strongly identifies with. The European Court of Human Rights, our Committee for Prevention of Torture, and other instruments remind our governments of their responsibilities in this area. On a wider level, this year's laureates have shown us once again that working with civil society is an increasingly important task. Democracy requires that all groups within society are able to have their voices heard. Civil society participation is therefore vital to democracy. This is one of the reasons why the North-South Centre is so important in this day and age. By reaching out to civil society, in particular youth and women, and by bringing together these partners with governments, international organizations, local and regional authorities, the North-South Centre has helped shape a culture of democratic citizenship, a culture firmly rooted in human rights and civic responsibility. So, ladies and gentlemen, the North-South Centre has often been described as the Council of Europe's window to the world, because its purpose is to assert the validity of the values upheld by the Council of Europe and the European values beyond our continent. I like that analogy, but I personally think it is more than just a window. It is also much like a terrace, an extension of our house, offering neighboring regions a solid platform for dialogue and structured cooperation between civil society, local authorities, governments, and parliaments. For me, Portugal is a perfect home for the North-South Center. Portuguese history is a story of discovery and exploration. For centuries, Portugal has been a powerful symbol of openness and intercultural exchange, bridging Europe with neighbors beyond our shores. Portugal always had an ability to understand that there is a world outside its own boundaries, and it has always had an ability to look upon the world from different angles, like my own national explorer, Thor Heyerdahl, the man that traveled on the Kon-Tiki, at the mercy of the ocean, in order to prove that the people in Polynesia came from the west and not from the east. And he became, of course, very famous all over the world, and he made a lot of lectures. And once he was asked by a student that was in Norway, a student asked, "Mr. Heyerdahl, who discovered America? Was it Christopher Columbus or was it the Norwegian Leif Erikson?" And then Mr. Heyerdahl answered, "Ask those who were on the shores when they arrived." So he had the ability to understand, like Portugal, to understand that there is a different perspective on the world. We cannot look upon history and the world only from our own perspective, with our own eyes. So therefore, I'm glad to be here today to honor such outstanding people that has an ability to understand that there is something outside their own sphere, to do something for other people. So I would like to end by, as I'm standing here in the magnificent São Bento Palace, and to quote the Portuguese poet Fernando Pessoa, once said that any wide piece of ground is a potential site of a palace, but there is no palace until it's built. This was true for Portugal's long democratic journey, as it is for our human rights infrastructure in Europe. And therefore, we have to struggle every day to preserve and, I would say, rebuild, take care of this democratic structure, but we cannot do it without looking to individuals, their rights, and that's why we are so honored to be here together with the North-South, the winners of the North-South Prize today. Congratulations.
Muito obrigada. Convido agora o Sr. Presidente da República a proceder à entrega dos prémios aos laureados Sua Alteza HK e Suzane Jabour. Dou agora a palavra ao laureado Sua Alteza HK para intervir.
President of the Republic of Portugal, President of Parliament, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, government ministers and members of Parliament, President of the Portuguese Parliament's delegation to the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Chair of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, Fellow Laureate, Suzanne Jabour, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it is a singular pleasure for me to be here with you and to tell you how deeply honored I am by this remarkable award. This ceremony is particularly meaningful for me for several reasons. This award, first of all, has special significance because of who shares it, Madame Suzanne Jabour. Her dedication to those who are tortured is an example that inspires us all. I know she will agree when I mention the list of those from both South and North who have received this award since 1995. It is a moving experience to have one's work recognized alongside theirs. In addition, of course, this prize has particular meaning because of those who organize it, the men and women of the North-South Center of the Council of Europe, who contribute so much to advancing democratic citizenship in our world. The Aachen Development Network has been proud to join with the center in distinguished projects such as the annual Lisbon Forum held at the Ismaili Center. The significance of this award is also enhanced for me by the fact that it has been presented by the President of Portugal in the presence of so many eminent leaders and in this splendid parliamentary setting. The Ismaili Imamate and the Aachen Development Network have had a long, close relationship with Portugal, built on shared values. Over many centuries, Portugal has welcomed and integrated people of diverse cultures. It was here on the Iberian Peninsula that Al-Andalus flourished for so long as a model of effective pluralism, a home for Christian and Jewish peoples that was also part of an Islamic empire. This is surely an appropriate place for celebrating the values associated with this award. The North-South Prize affirms principles which have long been animated and sustained by the Aachen Development Network. Our work seeks in many ways to improve the quality of human life in health, in education, in cultural and economic development. But our core conviction is that human progress depends on human cooperation, even across difficult lines of division. As I observe the world, I am struck by the insufficiency of well-informed debate, of richer dialogue, of deeper education in our quest to avoid human conflict. That insufficiency often plagues relations between the North and the South, and increasingly between the North and the Islamic world. Some have called this a clash of civilizations. I think it is essentially a clash of ignorances. What it means in any case is that institutions such as the North-South Center have never been more important. A related problem is the failure of so many to recognize that pluralism is not only a growing fact of life, but also a blessing for their communities, an opportunity to be welcomed rather than a threat to be feared. Since ancient times, great cultures have thrived because of their openness to diversity and not because of their exclusivity. It was to address this issue that the Government of Canada and I created a new Global Center for Pluralism in Ottawa in 2006. Recently, the Global Center held its third annual pluralism lecture, a platform for global leaders to reflect on this topic. Our first two lecturers in 2012 and 2013 were the former president of the Kyrgyz Republic, Roza Otunbayeva, and the former United Nations Secretary General, Kofi Annan. This spring, our guest lecturer was Antonio Guterres, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees since 2005. One reason I mention him here, of course, is because he was, for 7 years, the Prime Minister of Portugal. Before that, as many of you know, he also played a key role in the refugee affairs with the Council of Europe and its Parliamentary Assembly. His recent lecture described eloquently the unprecedented scale and severity of the world's refugee crisis. He addressed passionately the moral challenge this crisis presents, the tragic impulse of some to exploit it, and the critical importance of standing together on behalf of human tolerance. I commend his words to you. They resonate powerfully with the purpose of the North-South Center. We inhabit an overcrowded and interconnected planet, and yet we share a common destiny. A weakness or pain in one corner can rapidly transmit itself across the globe. The pervasive rejection of pluralism in all its forms plays a significant role in breeding destructive conflicts. An example is the current situation in the Middle East, where conflict is having a profound destabilizing impact in the region, but also well beyond, including here in Europe. Instability is infectious, but so is hope. And that is why it is so important for us to carry the torch of hope as we seek to share the gift of pluralism. Pluralistic values have been articulated since ancient times. Profound expressions about our common humanity are embedded in the world's great religious traditions, including my own. But now, it is for us to re-articulate those traditions. As we do so, our support for one another can be a source of renewed and growing strength. It is ironic that a sense of intensified conflict comes at a time of unprecedented breakthroughs in communication technology. At the very time that we talk more and more about global convergence, we also seem to experience more and more social divergence. The lesson, it seems to me, is that technologies alone will not save us. The critical variable will always be and always lie in the disposition of human hearts and minds. That, it seems to me, is what the work of the North-South Center is all about, including our gathering today. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with all of you in this experience and in the great purposes to which it calls us. Thank you.
Muito obrigada. Dou agora a palavra à laureada, a senhora Suzane Jabour.
Mr. President of the Portuguese Republic, Mrs. President of the Assembly of the Portuguese Republic, Honorable Members of the Assembly of the Republic, Mr. Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Mr. Chair of the North-South Center, ladies and gentlemen, His Highness the Aga Khan, let me start my speech by a message to His Highness the Aga Khan from my heart. We learn from reflecting on your great experience and your valuable and extraordinary achievement. It is an honor and privilege to be among the list of those outstanding individuals and distinguished prize winners. This award is an encouraging message, not only for me, but also for those who believe that the promotion and protection of human rights, it's not a slogan, it's a way of life. I would like to express my gratitude to the Council of Europe for sponsoring the North-South Prize and my appreciation for the continued and resolute support of the European Union toward establishing a cooperation platform with developing countries. I would like more particularly to thank the North-South Center and all people involved in its functioning. As a human rights activist and as a networking agent between North and South of the world, it is an honor for me to receive the blessing of this prize. Allow me to thank the efforts of the European Union for the prevention and eradication of torture and cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment in all parts of the world. And namely, the EU delegation in Lebanon for believing in what my team and myself do every day, for believing that our work makes a difference to those who suffer and are too often ignored. Highlighting that this is a joint award, but that I am here today as interlocutor of the Lebanese civil society at large and of my colleagues in Restart Center, who work hard on a daily basis to offer their contribution for the protection of human rights and bringing hope to victims. In 1996, Restart Center was named after the intention of helping those who have suffered severe and inhuman acts of violence to rebuild their lives. And it's with those people, with all the victims of torture, with all the victims of abuses and ill-treatments, that I want to share this honorable prize. At this very moment, while standing before you, somebody is being tortured. Somebody is silent about it. Somebody is allowing torture to happen. And somebody is not accountable for having committed the abhorrent, inhuman, and useless crime of torture. When victims are being tortured, they are not tortured alone. Their families are tortured, torn, and often irreversibly broken. When torture happens, a whole society is tortured. A country is tortured. Humanity is tortured. Torture takes place behind closed doors, in darkness, and it's happened in more than 140 countries in the world. As a Restart Center director and as a psychologist, from my patient, I often receive lessons. Once a man said, I used to be a strong man, healthy. I served my country with my profession for more than 20 years. I was strong and solid. I could do so much. I could take care of my parents, my children, and my wife. I was a man. Now, look at me. I'm nothing. I have nothing. Not my family, a home. I can't work. I have no life. I'm explosive, broken, empty, nothing. Sometimes I eat, I sit, I wait for what? I don't know. There is nothing to do but stare at the ceiling the whole day, thinking, too scared and worried to sleep. I have no life. This is a life worse than an animal's, not the life of man. I'm nothing, not even a human being. I am free, but I live in a prison without bars, without walls. In my mind, I'm imprisoned. What are the human rights when I am nothing? What are my human rights if I'm not even a human? Distinguished people, allow me to ask you one question. The question that came to my mind and to the mind of those working by my side. Are we doing enough to fight against torture? Are we doing enough to prevent it, to avoid it? Are we doing enough to lessen the pain of the victims, to restore their lives, their dignity, to uphold their rights to reparation? Are we doing enough to ensure that torture is prosecuted, to guarantee justice for all and impunity for none? The answer is clear, and it's no. That is what keeps us restarting every day our challenging work. Aware of our limits, but with the conviction that doing nothing, it's not an option. Syria is badly bleeding. More than 150,000 people have been killed in the 3-year war after. And the weekly updates of the UNHCR now count 2,841,524 refugees who sought protection in the region, while 6.5 million mothers, daughters, grandfather, brothers, and sons displaced in Syria today are approximately 20% of total number of the people internally displaced by conflict across the world. Syria's bleeding is also affecting my beloved country, Lebanon. With over 1 million of displaced Syrians escaping from horror, looking for safety and protection, hoping to find shelter, or even a future that the hosting country cannot offer. Nobody chooses to be a refugee. And there again lies the same question. Are we doing enough to protect victims? UN agencies, European institutions, civil society organizations, we are doing a lot, but we can do more. Activate with no delay all diplomatic, political, and substantial mechanism that can build lasting peace, establish effective ways to ensure humanitarian corridors and continue to support refugees, repair victims, work toward justice and ineffective social reintegration versus social marginalization and neglect. As president for the International Rehabilitation Council for Victims of Torture, and as vice president of the UN Subcommittee for the Prevention of Torture, my work is also to remind authorities that a society human rights record is mirrored in the states of human rights protection in its places of detention. As Mandela once said, no one truly knows a nation until he has been inside its jails. A nation should not be judged by how it treats its highest citizens, but how it treats its lowest. We all need to join hands for a world free of torture. State and non-state actors, UN bodies, EU institutions. We need to work together through awareness, advocacy, institutional reform, provision of direct support to victims, and also through education by partnering with universities and schools to ensure that the children and youth of today, the future of tomorrow, are brought up and educated in the spirit of zero tolerance on torture. I have faced several challenges in my way here, but each one has strengthened my motivation and turned me into the woman standing in front of you today. How shall I pretend to be the woman that I am today without experiencing the grief, the pain, and suffering of victims of torture, of refugees, and all people deprived of their liberty. My hope is to make their voice heard. I'm grateful for all the vulnerable groups which gave me the privilege to work with them. Please allow me to offer this award not only to the victims of torture in Syria and in all the parts of the world, but also to those who fight tirelessly to eradicate it. It will happen one day. Thank you.
Muito obrigada, Sra. Suzane Jabour. Anuncio então que o Sr. Presidente da República vai usar a palavra.
Sra. Presidente da Assembleia da República, Srs. Membros do Governo, Sr. Secretário-Geral do Conselho da Europa, Sr. Presidente do Comitê Executivo do Centro Norte-Sul, Sr. Presidente da Delegação da Assembleia da República à Assembleia Parlamentar do Conselho da Europa, Sr. Diretor Executivo do Centro Norte-Sul, Srs. Deputados, digníssimos laureados, minhas senhoras e meus senhores. O Prémio Norte-Sul do Conselho da Europa distingue personalidades que, pela sua ação, se destacam por contribuírem para a proteção dos direitos humanos, para a defesa da democracia e do Estado de Direito, e para a promoção da liberdade, do diálogo intercultural e da interdependência entre os povos. As individualidades galardoadas são exemplo de trabalho e de perseverança e, não raras vezes, de muitos sacrifícios. Este prémio tem, ao longo dos anos, contemplado entidades que provenham de contextos múltiplos e distintos, pondo desta forma também em evidência a diversidade e a pluralidade do Centro-Norte-Sul. Os laureados desta edição são disso um claro exemplo. Sua Alteza, o HK, e a Rede HK para o Desenvolvimento, e a doutora Suzane Jabur. Sua Alteza, o HK e a Rede HK para o Desenvolvimento não necessitam de apresentações. A Rede HK presente em 30 países tem trabalhado desde há muito no sentido de melhorar as condições de vida das populações, valorizando em particular áreas como a saúde, a educação, o desenvolvimento rural, a cultura, a arquitetura e o empreendedorismo. Assenta num impressionante projeto que desenvolve parcerias com diversas instituições públicas e privadas, desde governos a organizações internacionais, passando por empresas, fundações e universidades. Gostaria que este prémio pudesse também servir de estímulo à cooperação entre a Rede HK para o Desenvolvimento e o próprio Centro Norte-Sul. Hoje prestamos igualmente homenagem a Suzane Jabur, médica, com um desempenho destacado na promoção dos direitos humanos e em especial na luta contra a tortura em prisões e centros de detenção no Médio Oriente, em África e na América Latina. A sua ação enquadra-se no apoio à reabilitação das vítimas através de um conjunto de serviços de acompanhamento jurídico, médico e psicológico. Para além da direção da ONG Restart, as funções da doutora Suzane Jabur desempenha como Presidente do Comitê Executivo do Conselho Internacional de Reabilitação das Vítimas de Tortura, são um testemunho adicional do seu valor e da sua dedicação. Este ano, o Centro Norte-Sul destaca a vertente dos direitos humanos, questão consensual no plano das palavras, mas cuja materialização, infelizmente, permanece ainda por realizar. O trabalho de Suzane Jabur é bem ilustrativo desta situação. Realço ainda as perspectivas da educação e do desenvolvimento subjacentes à ação da Rede HK, que cobre um vasto espectro de países e de situações sociais, incluindo, desde há vários anos, Portugal. Minhas senhoras e meus senhores, quero saudar a presença nesta cerimónia do mais alto responsável do Conselho da Europa. Espero que esta presença possa contribuir para o empenhamento de todos no reforço do papel e da missão do Centro Norte-Sul. Este ano comemora-se o 25º aniversário do Centro Norte-Sul. O Centro constitui-se como uma plataforma de diálogo solidário, congregando participantes do espaço europeu e das regiões vizinhas em torno da promoção dos valores universais, contribuindo desta forma para o processo democrático, através da educação global para a cidadania e para o diálogo intercultural. Tem a particularidade de juntar nas suas ações representantes de governos, dos parlamentos, das autoridades regionais e locais e da sociedade civil. O papel que o Centro tem desempenhado ao longo deste quarto século como espaço de diálogo é hoje muito relevante. Refiro-me particularmente à fronteira sul, atenta à dinâmica política desses Estados. É estimulante observar o interesse crescente dos países do sul do Mediterrâneo e de outras zonas de África nas atividades do Centro. A edição de 2014 do Fórum Lisboa versará justamente sobre o processo eleitoral e a consolidação democrática no Mediterrâneo Sul. O Centro tem atualmente um conjunto muito alargado de países, redes de trabalho centradas nas questões da juventude e dos direitos da mulher. Desenvolve em particular uma ação muito importante no processo de formação e capacitação dos jovens para o exercício da cidadania, preparando-os para assumir um papel ativo no processo democrático e na vida política dos seus países. Contribui desta forma também para o combate ao crescente desencanto, alheamento e absentismo democrático, fenómeno que vem afetando as nossas sociedades. Minhas senhoras e meus senhores, o trabalho desenvolvido pelo Centro Norte-Sul e o seu impacto na vida diária das pessoas demonstram como, mesmo nas circunstâncias difíceis com que atualmente se defronta, o Centro continua a ser merecedor do apoio político e institucional do Conselho da Europa e de todos os países interessados em reforçar os laços entre as duas margens do Mediterrâneo. Reitero a importância que Portugal confere ao papel do Centro Norte-Sul. A cerimónia de entrega do prémio, que tem lugar anualmente em Lisboa, ao mais alto nível, é, só por si, bem reveladora do nosso reconhecimento pelo Centro Norte-Sul. Muitíssimo obrigado.
Está encerrada a sessão.